sports, entertainment, and Maine's best guest list on The Pulse, AM 620 WZON, WZONThePulse.com, and the WZON app. This is Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Good Sunday morning to you. Welcome into the best of Downtown on this 10th day of September. Rich Kimball and Carrie Haskell with you. A look back at some of our favorite conversations from the past week. Downtown's best of show and our weekly, daily, everyday kind of shows brought to you by our friends at Cross Insurance, where security meets strength. Guests of the program are heard on the G&M Family Market phone line. They're open every day, 6 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night on the corner of Route 1A and Route 46 in Holden. On the program this morning, we talk with our friend Gary Tangway of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Mike DeVito, the former Maine Black Bear and pro football player, inducted into the Maine Sports Hall of the University of Maine Sports Hall of Fame on Friday night. His thoughts on that. Our friend Colin Fleming talking great hockey, the Canada Cup of 30 years ago. Good conversation about that with Colin and our friend Bruce Pratt. And some Celtics talk from John Corrales of RedsArmy.com and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Let's get it rolling this morning. We had a chance to celebrate in a big way this week our 6th anniversary. And to do that, we reached out to the guy who was the very first guest on the show back in 2011. Our friend Gary Tangway of CSN joined us for a little bit of socks and Pats talk, but mostly some radio memories from back in the day here in Eastern Maine.
Richie, how are you? I kind of consider myself, I'm kind of like Bill Murray, right, with Letterman?
Yeah, there's no question about it. Every anniversary, you're there with us, and you made it possible. And we've talked about this before, but you opened up a lot of contacts to us in the Boston sports media, and we'll always be indebted to you for that.
Well, I have a lot of pictures of people. Like you said, Rich, you could have fired me a number of times back in the old days, so I owe you.
And then, I hear on Twitter the other day that you were mentioning me with the boys on WEEI. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, we have this thing, this shtick, Ronnie Radio, right? You remember the
guy. Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah, you know, and Minahan just loses it when I play DJ. And one slow summer morning, we did Yacht Rock Radio, where we played all the songs, you know, Christopher Cross, David Gates and Brad, and it's just like, it's AM 91, man. The old ABI, dude.
And I bet you can still hit the post.
Well, I did. I nailed the post every time. I mean, you know, Rich, when you're an old DJ, you remember the intro, you know.
That's right.
Seconds, 22 and a half. John Cougar Mellencamp, or John Cougar, I Won't Need a Lover That Won't Drive Me Crazy. You know, there's like three posts in there. So we did it last week, and it was kind of like an annual thing. And I could hit the post, but I couldn't remember the songs, which, you know, Kurt goes, that's a little weird. I go, it's just those posts are ingrained in your head. And I was doing some AM 91 Great Hit Radio. I don't remember that.
Yes, I do. But, you know, probably it's because you haven't been listening to Robbie Dupree's Hot Rod Hearts as much as you used to.
You know, but the one that I got, which they were blown away, was Greatest American Hero, Joey Scarborough. I mean, you'll never get this. Boom. Post, I nailed it. I crushed it.
I have no doubt.
You know, dropped a little, I had to do Man Eater with Daryl Hall and John Oates. And I said, I saw those guys at the Bangor Auditorium.
The stuff they let us get away with, it was, good thing Hale just wanted nothing to do with us at that point. You remember one summer where we did a weekly pretend beach party?
Oh, yeah, we did beach parties, out front. Yeah, the beach party of the mind. The one I remember, I just remember a lot of great nights at the good old Roundup.
Oh, yes.
God bless Cooper.
Yep.
And one night you and I stayed there. I don't know. Is there a statute of limitations? We stayed there drinking Heffenreffer in the studio after the radio station went off the air till like 5 in the morning until Aaron Judge showed up for the morning show. That's what I remember.
I do remember that. Trying to solve
the playing records and with these old, you were like digging old tape bits of like when Steve Martin was like 19 and all this crazy stuff. And Aaron comes into the morning show and goes, "You guys are still here? Yeah, we never left."
Trying to solve the puzzle on those Heffenreffer bottle caps.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was a good time. One time I played I don't know if your audience cares about this, but down by the Lazy River by the Osmond Brothers has that heavy guitar intro, and George Gonyer called me on the hotline. I mean, just screaming at me. Is that on a playlist? Is that on a playlist? I was like, wrong number.
he did that to me one day, playing the Carpenters, Goodbye to Love, and that guitar, little guitar solo in the middle of it, and he's walking out the door at the end of the day. The late George Gonyer, pioneer of local broadcasting, he pokes his head, and what the hell is that? I said, that's the Carpenters, George. That's the Carpenters. He goes,
He didn't even know my name. I mean, there was a guy, Tordoff, and I think he used to call me Tordway. He didn't even know who I was.
All he said to me after that was, I miss Teresa Brewer.
I miss who?
Teresa Brewer from
Yeah, I know.
Back in the day. Well,
those
were the days when radio was fun and carefree, and you didn't have to wrestle with guys like Minahan, for God's sakes.
Well, yeah, I mean, radio has obviously gone a different route completely. Minahan, Callahan. I'll be back with them again in the fall on every Wednesday morning. Get in there and, you know, I'll be talking with Jerry about DACA and every other cockamamie thing.
Well, let's talk a little sports here. And why can't the Red Sox cheat like the Patriots do, for God's sakes?
Well, first of all, the Patriots don't admit it. You know, I mean, the Red Sox, yeah, we did it.
We did it. We still lost.
We still can't hit. What I don't understand about this is by the time it goes to the people have to understand what this is really happening. It's not that the video guy sees the signal, sends it's a curveball, fastball, breaking ball, forkball, whatever, on the Apple phone. So it goes to the trainer who gets it to the player who gets it to the guy at bat. That doesn't happen every at bat because the signal is dropped on the guys in the box. They're doing what the Patriots did, you know, with Spygate, you know, like good old Ernie Adams. Like, let's copy all of their signals. Let's figure out the language. Give the information to the guys on second base or possibly the third or first base coaches so we know what their system is, and then we can figure it out. But, like, people are under this delusion that they're doing it pitch by pitch. It's impossible. I mean, you can't.
No.
But the one thing I do, and I disagree with Finn, what else is new, I heard on your intro, I do think that the Major League Baseball has to be careful with this because, you know, stealing signs is gamesmanship, but when you start putting in technology, I mean, next thing you know, you're going to be using drones over huddles. You know, you've got to, that's dangerous. So to me, he's got to come down on them because of technology. So you have to make sure that people don't use, you know, the technology, because let's face it, I mean, technology is so great, but it's taken the human element out of the game. I mean, I still wonder if replay is the way to go. I mean, yes, you get it right most of the time. I think MLB has a tougher time than the NFL, but, you know, sometimes I just wish we didn't have replay in sports. I really do.
Yeah, well, and for baseball, making those 3-hour and 45-minute games 4-hour games.
Yeah, it's brutal. So I think the technology part is a little scary, which I think Manfred has to take very seriously.
So, great win last night, one of the best of the year. Do you believe that this team is built for any kind of a postseason run?
Well, I don't know, you know, because Chris Sale has struggled. He seems to be out of gas. Price is taking his sweet old time, you know, getting back into the rotation. I don't know if he's going to get there or not. Porcello gave us a little glimmer of hope that he gets racked. So I don't have a good feeling about a long playoff run. Everybody knows if they play Cleveland, they're probably toast. So I don't have a good feeling. And this could be the end of John Farrell.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. We're talking to Gary Tanguay here on Downtown. Opening night for the Patriots tomorrow night. I don't know. Are you okay after they traded Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, a lot of that is yes, I'm okay. We had a lot of fun with that. Mark Bertrand, he was hilarious. The great thing about our show is, you know, Rich, it's like me and Felger in training, we just bust balls. It's whether we're on TV or whether we're on, it doesn't matter. It's like the Brissett thing. You know, I made one comment about Brissett, and they just crushed me on it, which is hilarious. I mean, I'm okay. I do think he's going to be a good quarterback. I'm sorry. I see an arm. I see pocket presence. I am sticking to my guns. Give this guy some time in the league, and I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I really, really do. You know, Garoppolo had 3 years to get his game going. And, you know, my concern with this whole thing is, okay, so – Brissett's gone, and that's fine. I get it. So is it a foregone conclusion that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to wait around for Tom to leave? Now, the Patriots have two choices. They either let him walk at the end of the year, or they franchise him for $27 million and then probably trade him. There is this theory that he's going to take a hometown discount, that he's going to stay for 2 or 3 years, and they'll give him $16 million a year. It'll be a $30 million, $45 million deal, and so forth and so on, and $10 million signing bonus, and he's just going to be happy sitting behind Brady. That's that theory. Now, if that's Don Yee's recommendation to him, that guy should be disbarred. He should be thrown out of the flipping NFLPA. He should no longer be registered with the league, because we have all seen through the movies and Concussion and the injuries and what happens to these players when they're done. And if I'm Jimmy, and I say it's either $27 million or you got to. I saw what Matthew Stafford. You know, and I'm not saying he's going to get 92 guaranteed or $50 million signing bonus, but I'm like, if Jimmy walks, that dude's going to get paid. I mean, what's he going to get? $30 million guaranteed?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's crazy. If they don't franchise him, he is crazy to stay. He's crazy. Now, Houston could make a run at him. I mean, there are other good teams out there that he could play for. I mean, we all know a good quarterback can change a team in the NFL because most of them suck. But, you know, that's why I just think that Bill feels that he's got Jimmy locked in somehow. I just do. That's why they let him go.
Gary, before we let you go and find out who's on with you on Early Edition tonight, a little something special for you that our producer, Kerry Haskell, has discovered here.
What are you doing tonight? You got no place to go. Gotta get out of the city. Why don't you come along with me?
It's my only favorite Osmond song.
I know better than that. I think you got the whole collection, the box set.
Yeah, sure I do. Oh, my God, the crap you used to make me play in that station. David Gates and Bread. Oh, God.
Who's on Early Edition tonight?
Maloney's. We got so many people, Rich. I mean, at 6 o'clock, it's... Patriots Wednesday, which is going to replay the Belichick-Brady press conferences. Which Patriot fans love. Then at 6:30, we're coming on. We got Lou. We got Drellick. Ninkovich. Rob Ninkovich is going to be in for three segments. We're talking about Brady's brain exercises that you can buy for $14.99. You know, we're obviously talking about what's happening on Thursday. Applegate. Lou is so ripped. Maloney is so pissed off with this whole Applegate thing. He's out of his mind. And I do want to remind people for your pregame show on Thursday. You want to keep it here on Comcast Sportsnet because Charlie Weiss is going to be in studio with Felger before and after the game. And we think that it's probably going to be an hour and a half in until Charlie just basically sits on Felger and just takes him out. I hope, because we had Charlie in here, and I mean, Rich, you know this as well as I do. You know, we have fun and we bust chops, but like when you're doing a football show, if we can get Charlie to the point where he really, I mean, you got a mind like that. If you're a football fan, Charlie's going to be great because he's just going to break down so much stuff and tell you so much stuff. I think he's going to be awesome.
That's must-see TV right there. All right, Gary, thanks as always. Love talking with you, but you took us here, so I'm going to give you the chance on your way out the door. Here's a little something for you to talk up and do that intro to like it was the good old days of radio.
Okay. Pressure's on. Oh, my God. It is 19 minutes after 4 o'clock. Playing what you're saying on the drive home. The drive at 5 will be taking the top 5 requests. This is Jeep hanging in with my man Rich Kimball. Let's ride like the wind. How about that?
Still there. You still got it, brother.
Never lose this, Rich. Be good. Congratulations.
All right. Thanks, Gear Bear. See you soon.
Bye.
That's our friend Gary Tagway here on the Best of Downtown for your Sunday morning. When we come back, we talk with a new member of the University of Maine's Athletic Hall of Fame, Former NFL star Mike DeVito next on Downtown.
Worried about buying a pre-owned vehicle? Experience the pre-owned difference with Quirk Auto Group. Every pre-owned vehicle from Quirk comes with a Carfax vehicle history report, a Quirk certified pre-owned inspection, a 3-month, 3,000-mile limited warranty, and state inspections for the life of the vehicle. That's the Quirk pre-owned difference. Experience it for yourself at more than 10 statewide locations. It's your car. Find it at Quirk. QuirkAuto.com. Wholesale vehicles excluded from the 3-month, 3,000-mile limited warranty and main state inspections.
Biking season is here, and the only way to be sure that you're road or trail ready is to bring your bike to Slipping Gears Cycling, Bangor's only full-time cycling sales and service experts. At 753 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, before prime riding season slips away. Slipping Gears Cycling, 753 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, Bangor's best full-service bike shop. Outstanding service, huge stock. Like them on Facebook for updates, shop in person and online at slippinggears.com.
Since its founding in 1954, Cross Insurance has grown from a small family-owned agency that started in Bangor, Maine, into one of the largest super-regional insurance agencies in New England. With a network of offices throughout New England, Cross Insurance works with top carriers to provide maximum value to you, your family, and your business. We are proud to be the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots and would welcome the chance to provide security for your team. For more information, visit crossinsurance.com. Cross Insurance, where security meets strength.
Bennett Auto Center is the place to go for full-service auto care. From oil changes to engine jobs, they can handle your every need. Stop in at 24 Thatcher Street in Bangor and talk with the experienced local people at Bennett's. They offer great service, competitive prices on a wide range of tires, and best of all, people you can trust. Visit the website for more information at BennettAutoCenter.com. Give them a call at 947-0351 or drive on into Bennett Auto Center, 24 Thatcher Street, Bangor.
Hi, this is Mike Toole. My company is ClearPoint Financial. We're an independent retirement plan advisory firm located right here in Bangor, Maine. At ClearPoint Financial, we provide guidance-based, comprehensive retirement plan solutions to companies that are concerned about their employees' retirement income security. We focus on plan participants. We help them strive to achieve retirement income security. We provide ongoing engagement, education, investment advice, and service that exceeds expectation. For more details on our financial wellness programs, call me today at 899-2552. ClearPoint Financial, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears.
For the seventh consecutive year, Green Acres Kennel Shop has been selected as the region's best dog trainer. They've also been recognized by Best Businesses of America as one of the top 40 dog training facilities in New England. Green Acres is a pet-friendly facility where force, fear, and pain are never used to manage or train a pet. Their goal is to help your dog by using scientific, proven, and effective training methods. Learn more at greenacreskennel.com or stop by and see them at 1653 Union Street in Bangor.
We love Green Acres. This kennel shop, a home away from home.
Yeah, up next on Downtown, Mike DeVito came out of the Cape Cod area to play football at Maine. Not a whole lot of schools wanted him, but Jack Cosgrove saw something there. What he saw was an incredible work ethic and determination that led Mike to become an all-conference player and then go on to a 9-year career in the National Football League as a member of the New York Jets and the Kansas City Chiefs. We had a chance to talk with Mike before his induction into the Hall of Fame here on Downtown. First of all, congratulations.
Hey, Rich, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you having me on the show. It really is an honor to get inducted into the Hall of Fame, and something I'm so grateful for, because as you know, it's a school and it's an organization and a group of coaches and people that really care about you and gave me the opportunity to do the things I did and gave me the opportunity to meet my wife and meet my best friend, and so it's really, you know, I really owe the college so much, and it's just an honor to be recognized by them.
And when you're at Nauset Regional High School thinking about your future, obviously you didn't think you'd end up in anybody's Hall of Fame, perhaps, let alone the University of Maine. What was the National Football League even a dream? What did you hope to do when you were out there playing for Nauset?
It's funny, Rich, so when I was coming out my senior year, I'd gotten minimal interest recruiting-wise from some smaller Division I AA schools. Really, obviously, Maine with the most interest. But then West Point had interest in me and brought me in on a recruiting trip, and I almost decided to go there. And I remember I went out there and saw those kids at 18 years old doing the military stuff and thinking, you know, I can't do this. This is too tough. And I remember telling my dad, listen, I'm going to go to Maine. I want to play football at Maine. And he was so disappointed that I didn't go to West Point and join the military. He said, you know what? If you don't join the military, you better play in the NFL. And so I had no choice coming out. But it was either join the military, make the NFL, or feel the wrath of my old man. And so, yeah. But, yeah, no, it really was an amazing journey. And I credit I have to give credit to Coach Kaz, Coach Commission, you know, guys that really helped me, you know, grow up from a boy to be a man and taught me everything on the field, but then so much more about life off the field and how to do life well. And so forever grateful for those guys.
Mike, one of the highlights of the great night we had down in Portland back in May honoring Coach Cosgrove was your speech talking about your experiences, and you told a great story about Kaz coming for his visit with you in high school. Can you pass that story along here this afternoon?
Yeah, Rich, it was so funny. So like I said, I wasn't getting recruited by anybody, you know, I was getting minimal interest, but, you know, University of Maine calls and says, hey, Coach Cosgrove, the head coach, is coming down with Jeff Cole to see you. And I remember thinking I got a little, you know, a little bit cocky, a little bit, you know, talking to my buddies like, hey, head coach is coming down, check me out, you know, we'll see what he wants, you know what I mean? Like being really, really cocky and, but just excited that the head coach was coming down. And I remember sitting there and, you know, him saying, you know, we came down here, this was an important trip for us. And I remember thinking, wow, this is incredible. And he's like, I was like, yeah, coach, I know. And he's like, honestly, it's really important trip because I came down here to check out the beach. He's like, I can't. He's like, came down here to show Jeff Cole the ocean, and you happen to be on the way. You know, you happen to give us a reason to come down and do it. So we always laugh about that because the biggest reason Coach Cosgrove came down there was to go check out the beach in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and I was kind of the afterthought. But yeah, no, funny story. But you know, but in all seriousness, obviously he gave me a chance when nobody else would, and allowed me to make the most of it.
He also shared the story of you very early on in your Jets career, uncertain if you were going to get any opportunities and whether Coach Rex Ryan liked you, and Coach Kaz had some pretty good advice for you.
Yeah, Coach has always been so encouraging for me. And coming into the NFL, it's really a totally different world, Rich, as you know. I talked about University of Maine and the climate and just the organization and group of people that has your back and wants you to do well. And you recognize quickly in the NFL that that's not the case. In the NFL, it's very much, you know, you're going to perform and do well on Sunday or you're out of here because everybody's trying to put food on their table. This is everybody's livelihood. And if you don't benefit the team, then you're going. And so I remember thinking, man, you know, I don't know if these coaches like me. I don't know if these players like me. And Coach Kaz telling me, listen, Mike, you know, what's not to like? I remember him saying, you work hard, you put your head down, you grind, you have the right attitude. He's like, you have what it takes to do it. So just have confidence in that. And really coming in, Rich, that's what allowed me to separate myself from the other guys. I didn't have the talent. I didn't really have the ability. But I just tried to outwork everybody. And I know it's cliche, but it really works. So that allowed me the opportunity, that lunch pail mentality that we learn at the University of Maine, that you cultivate there, and that philosophy of just toughness, hard work, head down, don't ask questions, don't pause any raise any red flags, just grind day in and day out. And that's what allowed me to separate myself and make the team. And I owe that to Coach Kaz and that philosophy that he brings up there at Black Bear Nation.
Well, you had one of the most productive and lengthy careers in the National Football League of any former Black Bear, and you've been so generous with your time since you moved back to the area in working with this new group of Bears and being up at the university and encouraging them. You're up there cheering them on Pro Day. Why is it so important for you to give back to the Bears?
Oh, man, just because, Rich, they've given so much to me. Obviously, like I said, you know, I wouldn't have been anywhere without this program, without Coach Kaz and this team, and now to be able to be back and plug in, because you know that time I'm in the NFL, I'm, you know, we're playing at the same time, so I don't always know the players. I don't always know what's going on with the school. So now to be here full time, being able to plug in, being able to learn about the guys, their backgrounds, and about the program and where it's at now and how far it's come in the you know, the 9 years, 10 years that I've been away. It's really been exciting, and it allows me to keep a foot in the game. You know, it allows me to kind of keep the door open a little bit, be around the game, and it, again, it gives so much back to me because without it, you know, I think I'd just be at home staring at the walls. But, you know, the University of Maine has given me an opportunity again to come back up to be a part of it. Coach Harris Simiak, Coach Heatherman, kind of giving me an all-access pass there to be in meetings and work with the guys. And so it's really been an honor and been a lot of fun.
Mike, also part of the broadcast crew for Black Bear Sports Properties and the TV broadcast, including the game with Bryant this Saturday that you'll be doing with Dan Hannigan. You're one of the rotating co-hosts of The Drive over across town on 92.9 The Ticket. What do you think of this foolish broadcasting business after some time working at that?
You know, Rich, it's so funny because when you're playing, you kind of think, oh, look at the media guys. You know, they come in, they ask questions, they're drinking coffee, hanging out. And then you get on the other side and you recognize how difficult it is and how much work goes into it. I mean, I listen. It's funny because I remember last year, and I've told you the story before, I listened to the first game with you and Bob to say, okay, you know, what goes into it? Everybody's saying these guys are gold standard. You got to listen to them. Man, Rich, I listen to you guys. It's fantastic. And the information that you guys bring up, and it's just you make people want to listen in to what's going on, and you paint that picture. And so, and then I recognize how hard it is to do that. I mean, I don't know who's making the decisions over there, but I could not believe they asked me to come back to do it. So, but it really is an honor. It's a lot of hard work. I have a ton of respect for what you guys do. I think it's funny when I see guys like Romo and getting these positions right away, and they're expecting these guys to come in and be all stars. And I think it's a harsh reality when you realize, listen, just because you play the game, this is a totally different set of skills. This is a totally different talent, and it doesn't mean because you played it you're naturally going to be good at this. So it's been a humbling experience, but I've been grateful for it.
It's Mike DeVito, new Hall of Famer, University of Maine, joining us here on The Best of Downtown, brought to you by Quirk Auto Group, quirkauto.com. It's your car. Find it at Quirk. When we come back, some great hockey talk going back 30 years to remember a very memorable Canada Cup series. Colin Fleming next on Downtown.
When it comes to your health, early detection is the best protection. That's why the St. Joseph Regional Breast Care Center provides 3D mammography to offer better answers and greater peace of mind. Identifying problem areas that a standard mammogram might miss. It provides precise images for all women, including those with dense breast tissue. Call 907-1682 to schedule your 3D mammogram at the St. Joseph Regional Breast Care Center. 3D, providing peace of mind for you, your family, and your loved ones.
Since its founding in 1954, Cross Insurance has grown from a small family-owned agency that started in Bangor, Maine, into one of the largest super-regional insurance agencies in New England. With a network of offices throughout New England, Cross Insurance works with top carriers to provide maximum value to you, your family, and your business. We are proud to be the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots and would welcome the chance to provide security for your team. For more information, visit crossinsurance.com. Cross Insurance, where security meets strength.
Whatever you're looking for, G&M Family Market has got what you need. They're on the corner of Route 1A and Route 46 in Holden. They have fresh produce delivered daily, a great selection of meats and seafood, beer and wine, a Dunkin' Donuts right there, and an Amato's as well. And if there's something you can't find, just ask, and they'll make every effort to get it for you next time. It's G&M Family Market, Route 1A, Route 46 in Holden. They're open every day from 6 in the morning until 9 p.m.
There's only one way Hartley's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Newport does business. The right way. Owned and operated for over 60 years by the Hartley family, Hartley's offers the same or even better prices and discounts on vehicles as those offered at mega dealerships. And along with that comes their renowned small dealer service and exceptional attitude toward you, their customers. Hartley's values your business and your trust. You're never pushed, never pressured. No one will chase you around the lot, but no one will ignore you either. Hartley's wants you to feel comfortable at their dealership. So feel free to look around, and Hartley's professional sales staff will always be there when you need help. You'll like the place, you'll like the people, and you'll like the way they do business. The right way. The folks at Hartley's wouldn't do it any other way. Always remember, if you're out there looking around, the best deals aren't in the city, they're in the country. Hartley's Country, at the Triangle in Newport. You'll always be treated the right way at Hartley's.
Penobscot Theater Company presents...
After you've gone...
Nobody cares for this music anymore.
A barbershop quartet loses its tenor.
Our lead dropped dead.
And scrambles to find a replacement.
We were good, but I think I heard better that day.
The main premiere of a pitch-perfect comedy, The Fabulous Lipitones, September 7th through the 24th at Bangor's Historic Opera House. Tickets at 942-3333 and penobscottheater.org.
Go, Blue!
Sir, you're here for the cheerleading tryouts?
Yeah, for the class of 82. Gotta show my school spirit.
I know a better way. The UMaine Alumni Signature Rewards Visa Card from University Credit Union. Low rates, no annual fees, and it earns reward points for travel, merchandise, or cash back.
Woo, sounds easier than a backflip.
Apply online today at umainealumnicard.com.
Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions apply, subject to credit approval.
It's the Best of Downtown here at a Sunday morning. Rich Kimball, Kerry Haskell, the Pulse, WZON. Some great hockey played 30 years ago. Some would argue one of the best series of all time, including our next guest, author and critic Colin Fleming, who talked with Bruce Pratt and I about the 87 Canada Cup. Three remarkable games between Canada and the Soviet Union, all decided by scores of 6-5. And here's a little sample of the action from 30 years ago.
Well, they have Howard, Chuck, Lemieux, and Gretzky, all center icemen on the ice. And it looks as though Howard, Chuck will draw the assignment against Becca. Howard, Chuck wins it, and here's Lemieux poking at the center. Lemieux ahead to Gretzky. Has Murphy with him on a 2-on-1 to Lemieux. And on goal, he shoots, he scores!
Minutes after 4 o'clock on Downtown, going back 30 years for some of the greatest hockey ever played. Our next guest here to talk about it, it's our friend, author and critic Colin Fleming, joining us on Downtown. Colin, welcome back to the show, and some pretty impressive hockey there that I had forgotten how good it was until you sent me the link to watch that Canada Cup series with Canada and the Soviet Union back in 87.
Just hearing Dan Kelly call that game there has me ready to lower my shoulder now and pop somebody through the boards. That is some exciting stuff.
Amazing games and amazing talent on those rosters.
I think you could make a comfortable case that those are the two best teams ever to lace them up. And Team Canada was just studded with one Hall of Famer after another. To give you an idea, the power play, which was allowing a couple of shorthanded goals. That's how good the Soviet side was. But the Team Canada power play was Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Marc Messier, Paul Coffey, and Ray Bourque. And Soviet Union was so good that they were able to score a few shorthanded goals against that unit. That's the level of talent we're talking about between these two teams.
Hi, Colin. This is Bruce Pratt. I do with the Sports Lit thing here. I was glad you said that because I never saw a better team. I also think that a lot of ways Mike Keenan doesn't get enough credit for having all that talent and having them work so well together. Would you agree with that?
I would in terms of the way it ultimately coalesced, but there was a near mutiny during camp and then during the early portion of that tournament for Team Canada. Keenan loved to play head games. In fact, his roster selection was sort of questionable at the time. He left off players like Al MacInnis, Steve Yzerman, who he always like had a personal grudge against, Cam Neely, and you had players like Norman Rochefort on the defense with Doug Crossman. And that seemed a little shaky that you left so many Hall of Famers, Scott Stevens, off the team, and then eventually, a couple of the Oilers players, Messier and Gretzky, had to intercede with Keenan and say, like, look, you're riding this bunch pretty hard. These are some awfully established guys here. You can let us do our thing a bit more.
So much talent on both sides, but the way Gretzky played in this series, in many ways otherworldly, and you put it with some of the greatest athletic performances in any sport of any time.
I'll say it's the best North American in terms of most dominant athlete playing the absolute best he ever did. He was Euclid on skates, as far as I'm concerned. And you can see him during this tournament, especially in the final three games against the Soviet Union, at a level I don't think anyone has come close to. I don't think a Michael Jordan has come close to it. I don't think a Brady during his best ever half of football. Gretzky, you can really watch and see what he does and how he played in ways no one else would think to. For instance, during the first game, our man, Ray Bourque, is just firing the puck, dump in, into the Soviet end. And he turns around, so he has his back really to the Soviet end, fires a slap shot, turnaround slap shot. Gretzky, unlike every other player on the ice, before Bourque has even fired the puck, is making a beeline for like this patch of ice near the Soviet net where no one else would think to go. Gretzky arrives right as the puck caroms out from behind the net onto his stick. It's a level of anticipation where you're working out like fractal patterns on the ice in nanoseconds in your head. And it's like, who thinks like that, let alone at 23 miles per hour?
Well, one of the other things I think that really points up is that the Soviet team had been playing together as a unit for a long time. These guys are great players, are all thrown in. I think what it shows is that particular group of players had mad skills compared to almost any other era because of things like that. I mean, when Gretzky found that piece of open ice, some people would argue that's one of the best goals ever scored.
Yes, and I think you could also say that Soviet Union had the second best player of the 1980s in Sergei Makarov. He was better than Lemieux, he was better than Coffey, he was better than Bourque, for that stretch of time anyway. So we're talking like the real big boys here. But if you look at the game, basically the series winning goal, in Game 3, there's a face-off deep in Team Canada's end, Dale Hawerchuk takes it, and the puck squirts forward. The Soviet defenseman pinches, causing the puck to just rattle out to center ice. And Gretzky's the first one on it. And anyone who's ever played hockey at any level, pond hockey, high school hockey, Division I hockey, NHL hockey, if you're first out of the zone, you're going to pick up that puck. But Gretzky wants nothing to do with it. It's bizarre almost to watch. He skates past it because what he wants to do is establish this attacking geometric pattern down the ice. So the puck is eventually headman to him, and by the time that happens, you have this triangle advancing with Larry Murphy driving the net, and any player would pass it to Murphy, but not Gretzky. He delays for this little beat, kicks it back to Mario Lemieux, and the second it's on Lemieux's stick, it's in the top of the net. The entire play, from soup to nuts, one end of the ice to the other, takes about 5 seconds.
We're talking with Colin Fleming here on Downtown about the 87 Canada Cup. And Colin, it's a measure of how strong these rosters were when you look at some of the guys who didn't make the team and who got cut.
Yeah, this is big boy hockey. I mean, you're leaving off guys that what you're trying to do in a sense is it's not an all-star team. It's a roster, and it was very top-heavy with centers. But the thinking was that players like Dale Hawerchuk, Doug Gilmore, could man the wing. And so when Canada falls behind 3 goals in that final game, it's not Gretzky, Lemieux et al. Who gets them back in it. It's the Grinders. It's your Rick Tocchet. It's your Hawerchuk. It's your Brian Props. It's players like that who claw them back to even in that game. And you just... you have to keep in mind at the same time, this Soviet team was so formidable. You have the legendary Green Unit, and you're talking basically a five-man assemblage that you could say is the best line ever in the history of hockey. I don't know how you get better than Krutov, Larionov, Makarov, Fetisov, and Konstantinov. Now, Americans just kind of remember Vladimir Krutov because he came over here and he played briefly with the Vancouver Canucks, and he was kind of heavy at that time because of, like, the transition to American life, and he had the unfortunate appellation of Vlad the Inhaler and Vladimir Crouton. But during this period, he's basically as good as Lemieux. Like, he's better than Mike Bossy was. He was that good.
What's remarkable when you go back and watch these games, you forget the unbelievable pace of play in these games and how slow by comparison hockey seems today.
It's very packed in now. It's very system-driven. It's very lines 1 through 4. And you don't even really have grinders anymore. You don't have much in terms of extemporaneous hockey. It's very system driven. In fact, during the second game of the three-game finals, which I think you could call sport at the level of art, Ron Roche, the announcer, says to Dan Kelly, the play-by-play guy, he's like, can you believe this pace? Like, you get the feeling that these guys calling the game are toweling themselves off as they watch. It is frantic, cartoonish almost.
One of the other things I'd love to have you talk about is there were a lot of good teams in that Canada Cup series. And when I look at the U.S. roster and see that they got beat so soundly by the Soviets, that you have to that also sort of adds to the legacy of how good the Soviets were. I mean, I'm going down there and I'm seeing Carpenter and Chelios and Nylund and LaFontaine and Langway and Eddie Olczyk and some pretty good hockey players, and the Soviets just beat them in Hartford like a drum.
You have like Phil Housley on that American team, yeah. But even their Hall of Famers, with the exception of like Chelios, they're kind of like grade B and grade C Hall of Famers. Like Rod Langway has the two Norris trophies, but no one puts him at the level of like a Bork, say, like a generational defenseman. And I think that they carried in a sort of like defeatist attitude, really, because you're in the NHL. This was a big deal. If you were an American back then and you were in the NHL, like when Bobby Carpenter got the 50 goals, you remember what a big deal that was? Mm. It was like shocking that an American could score 50 goals, and then he never came close again. And you're going against these Oilers players and Michel Goulet and Glenn Anderson, and just I don't know how you could think in your mind that you're on like a level patch of ice, really, with that group. Like everyone pretty much knew and wanted that the final was going to be Soviet Union and Team Canada, because you had the 72 Summit Series, you had the 76 Canada Cup, and 81, let's not forget that the Soviet Union waxed Team Canada 8-1 in the final. And in 84, you had an amazing overtime game with Mike Bossy scoring the winner to defeat the Soviets. So that was the marquee matchup. That was Celtics versus Lakers times like 10 at the international level.
Would you agree, though, that the 72 Summit Series is a deeper part of the Canadian psyche even than 87?
I would. I would say that the hockey is not at the same level. I think you could make a case that the first game of that Summit Series, when starts off, Phil Esposito scores, everyone on the Team Canada bench is yucking it up. It's like the ice capades. This is going to be great fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is less fun now that Valerie Harlamov is doing these awful, awful things to us. I think in terms of like influence for one game, that's just a pivotal contest. That served international notice that the Soviet Union and their style of play, because when things get difficult for Team Canada, they always do the same thing. They dump, they grind, they muck, they outwork you. But now you had this emergent style of play of a team attacking in concentric circles almost, bobbing, weaving, picks. It was strange. And I think that in terms of hockey, historical import, and yes, ultimately in the end, the Paul Henderson goal means more to Canadians than the 87 finals do. But I don't think for the level of hockey you can touch what happened in that three-game series.
Colin Fleming joining us here to talk about the 87 Canada Cup on the Best of Downtown. Colin, back on the program, as we mentioned, coming up this coming Tuesday to look back at two TV shows that started 35 years ago, two great ones based in New England, Newhart, the second Newhart show, this one at the Inn in Vermont, and Cheers. That's coming up on Tuesday here on Downtown. When we come back, we'll talk some basketball. John Corrales, Celtics Insider next. It's The Pulse, WZON.
Worried about buying a pre-owned vehicle? Experience the pre-owned difference with Quirk Auto Group. Every pre-owned vehicle from Quirk comes with a Carfax Vehicle History Report, a Quirk Certified Pre-Owned Inspection, a 3-month, 3,000-mile limited warranty, and state inspections for the life of the vehicle. That's the Quirk Pre-Owned Difference. Experience it for yourself at more than 10 statewide locations. It's your car. Find it at Quirk, quirkauto.com. Wholesale vehicles excluded from the
a 3-month, 3,000-mile limited warranty and Maine State inspections.
Road bike, mountain bike, hybrid, recumbent, tandem. No one size fits all when it comes to quality bicycles for the road or the trails. If you're interested in any type of bike, see the experts at Slipping Gears Cycling, 753 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Bangor's best full-service bike shop. Outstanding service, huge stock. Like them on Facebook for updates. Shop in person and online at slippinggears.com.
Do we ever agree on anything?
We both like the Bangor Mall Cinema 10.
The cozy stadium seating.
I like the bargain prices for all shows on Tuesday.
Hot buttered popcorn and candy.
The Dolby and digital surround sound is perfect.
I think I'll have a birthday party there for the kids.
I've got 2 tickets.
I hope one of them's for me.
So we can check out that action movie.
No, romance. Comedy.
At Bangor Mall Cinema 10 at 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Call 942-1303 or visit online at yourneighborhoodtheater.com.
Bennett Auto Center is the place to go for full-service auto care. From oil changes to engine jobs, they can handle your every need. Stop in at 24 Thatcher Street in Bangor and talk with the experienced local people at Bennett's. They offer great service, competitive prices on a wide range of tires, and best of all, people you can trust. Visit the website for more information at BennettAutoCenter.com. Give them a call at 947-0351 or drive on into Bennett Auto Center, 24 Thatcher Street, Bangor.
Hi, this is Eric.
And Christine.
From the Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, inviting you to come in and shop our carefully cultivated selection of fine wine, craft beer, meads, and ciders, and experience what has made Bangor Wine a fixture of Bangor's downtown for over 15 years.
Taste our delicious new Tavolo specialty oils and vinegars, artisan cheeses, cured meats, and crusty baguettes.
Bangor Wine and Cheese offers the service and knowledge to help anyone from the seasoned buyer to the nervous newcomer.
Bangor Wine and Cheese, family owned and operated since 2000. Is located at 86 Hammond Street in the heart of downtown Bangor.
Drink, eat, live better.
Penobscot Theater Company presents
After You've Gone.
Nobody cares for this music anymore.
A barbershop quartet loses its tenor.
Our lead dropped dead.
And scrambles to find a replacement.
We were good, but I think I heard better that day.
The main premiere of a pitch-perfect comedy, The Fabulous Lipitones, September 7th through the 24th at Bangor's Historic Opera House. Tickets at 942-3333 and penobscottheater.org.
Welcome back to the Best of Downtown on your Sunday morning. Take your choice. Bottle of red, bottle of white. It's morning.
A bottle of white, a bottle of red.
Or perhaps.
Perhaps a bottle of rosé.
Why don't we use that for Eric Meehan, for crying out loud, man.
Get a table near the stream.
Yeah, he could be a little more specific, though, not
well,
just a
right.
bottle.
Yes.
He, you know. He'd get beyond just a red.
Right.
He'd have something specific to recommend.
Well, and the song's already about 7 minutes long, so starts getting into details. Yeah, that could. That's the entire side of that album right there. That is Best of Downtown on your Sunday morning. Rich Kimball, Kerry Haskell, and how about some basketball talk? John Corrales, RedsArmy.com, and the Locked On Celtics podcast with his weekly visit from earlier this week. Finally, our long national nightmare is over. The Celtics-Cavs deal is finally put to bed.
Yeah, it took a little while, and really, in the end, when you think about all of that just for a 2020 second-round pick, a little anticlimactic, but look, it's done. Kyrie Irving is a Celtic, which is weird to say. Isaiah Thomas is a Cav, which is weird to say and weirder to see, but it's done.
What was your impression of that opening press conference with both Kyrie and Gordon Hayward?
Hey, that was a lot more entertaining than I expected. Kyrie is an interesting dude. He's going to be an interesting guy to follow throughout the season. You know, we watch these guys from afar, and you watch maybe some of the national games, and you only catch like a few Cavs games here and there. You don't get the post game all the time. That's not the world that you live in. Now, when he's going to be the guy that's talking after every game, it's going to be real interesting to see what his personality really is like and how he matures and grows, because hey, he's going to be one of the leaders on this team. So him and Gordon Hayward, just interesting little dynamics, some funny moments between those guys. It seems like it's going to be at least fun.
So what's left to do with this roster before we get too deep into camp? Is there any tinkering that needs to be done, and how might the makeup change?
I don't know if there's any more tinkering left to be done, but then again, I thought they were done making moves in the middle of July. So they, I think, are set. And Danny Ainge plays coy, and he said summer's not over yet, and there are moves to make. It's possible that something else could happen, but right now I think this is going to be the team, unless they try to tinker around the edges and do something small. But I think right now the big concern for them is staying under the luxury tax if they can. So if they can accomplish that, it just kind of gives them an extra year of not paying a repeater tax down the road. So very important for them to not go too crazy and spend too much money and really put themselves in a difficult cap situation. The team looks pretty good, and they've got minutes for their rookies. They've got some good options for playing Hayward alongside Kyrie Irving, staggering this and that, and playing Horford together. So it's going to be, I think this is going to basically be the team.
So we've got this new big three. What's the rest of the starting lineup on opening night?
I am looking for Jaylen Brown, I think, to be the starting in the backcourt alongside Irving. I think they were going to go that way with Isaiah Thomas no matter what. And it still applies. Like, his length will be good in the backcourt. It allows Marcus Smart to be playing off the ball more. As a backup point guard more. And then you could bring him in and have Kyrie being played off the ball. And then I would like Marcus Morris to be playing at the power forward, because it just spreads the floor a little bit and allows for Kyrie to get those passing lanes. So and driving lanes. He really needs to drive more. He averaged like 4.5 free throws per game last season. And these lanes that will open up will give him more opportunity to get to the rim and get fouled and score from the line.
Away from the Celtics for a moment, John, based on what I saw today for a selling price, maybe we made a bad decision when we didn't pool our resources several years ago and buy the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, that was a pretty nice haul for them over there. $2.2 billion. This is going to be a real interesting time, because ownership groups that got in that at that point where they're paying, I think he paid $85 million for the team. Teams are worth $1.5 billion, $2 billion, $2.5 billion, maybe more. You start to wonder if these guys see the haul that they can get, if they won't start considering cashing out. Because even the most stable groups, like if you look at the ownership group in Boston, I certainly am not trying to start a rumor, but everybody's got to have that conversation. When you look at that sale price, you say, man, what do you think? Do we hold on to this team some more, or do you cash out while the investment is good? I would have that conversation. I would imagine most people would. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, no question about that. A really interesting topic that you were discussing on social media, and it's the idea of basketball and when you first fell in love with it. And you have, and we've talked about a little bit with you before, you have your own unique story of how basketball came into your life.
Yeah, well, you know, I put the picture out of me as a little kid playing basketball, but, you know, basketball for me was kind of an evolution, because my parents came from Greece. I'm first generation, and they didn't have back then basketball like they do now. Everything was soccer. So I didn't have that parental influence where they say, hey, come down and let's go watch Larry Bird and, you know, let me tell you stories about Havlicek and all that. Yeah, you know, I was tall and am tall, and I got into basketball maybe a little bit later as a player, but for me, it was kind of, I call it like an arranged marriage kind of love, where I was kind of pushed into basketball, like, hey, you're a tall guy, go try it. And you know, I wasn't very good when I started, but eventually through Emerson College and through, I got a shout out Hank Smith and that coaching staff at Emerson, that I really grew up. And it taught me a lot about life. And I apply basketball lessons to life lessons. There's just so much that applies. It crosses over. And it taught me everything. Everything that I've ever done to be any kind of successful comes through basketball and the lessons learned. And so I would always encourage, and it doesn't have to be basketball,
I would always encourage, get your kids into sports. They learn that teamwork. You know what? Life is about winning and losing. It's not everybody gets a trophy. And when you can learn how to win properly and lose properly, that gets you a long way in life. So basketball has taught me a lot. And I've kind of grown along with the sport, and it's given me everything positive in my life.
Hey, John, you're also, I think, a great lesson, too, when you have something that you're passionate about. I mean, this, you coming on with us and the writing that you do, the work that you do involving basketball, is not your full-time job, but it is certainly your passion. And you've been able to turn that into something that you've been able to pursue and I'm guessing, take to levels that you never imagined when this all got started.
Yeah, you know, when we first kicked around the idea of starting a blog, it was just a fun little side thing to kind of, you know, pass the time. Me and my buddy Chuck, we go mess around and, you know, do funny Photoshops and just kind of have a place where we just have fun with basketball. And, you know, everything just kept on growing. The social media presence kept on growing. More people started reading the site. And, you know, people like you, I'm so appreciative of, you know, say, hey, come on, talk to us every week. I keep going back to thinking I'm just some guy that watches a lot of basketball and talks about it. And to have it go this big at this point, I mean, doing some stuff for Boston.com, which is a new venture for me, writing some Celtics stuff for them, and who knows what's next. I'm so appreciative that people actually care to listen and care to read. And, you know, I keep thinking one of these days it's all going to go away. They're all going to realize, like, oh, no, forget it. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But until then, I'm going to enjoy the ride.
Well, and I'm not just saying this because you're on here with us, but you know, our show is a little different than standard talk radio fare. We're not into doing hot takes or knockdown, drag-out fights on the thing. We reach out to people like you because you're smarter than us when it comes to these topics and you have information. And literally for years, people have said to me in conversation, in text, man, that Corrales guy is so great. He is the best guy out there when it comes to talking basketball. He sure knows his stuff, and he's one of your best guests. We couldn't agree more.
Well, I really appreciate that. Really, it kind of, you know, that hits me right in the heart because that's the payoff. I really want people to understand things better. If I have an opportunity to maybe give you a different perspective on things, maybe see the game from a different way, I'm not always going to be right, but I'm going to give you a different perspective, and hopefully that kind of gives you a little something to add. There's a ton of us out there. There's a ton of people out there writing and talking and everything. Everybody's got something to add. And if we can all make your Celtics experience better than that, that really is what I'm doing it for.
Hey, it's John Corrales, RedsArmy.com, talking Celtics here on Downtown. Thanks to everybody on the program this morning, John, Colin Fleming, Mike DeVito, Gary Tanguay, for being with us as we swing into the heart of the fall athletic season. A lot of good stuff on tap for you this week. Tomorrow on the show, Football Monday, Joe Harris-Simiak, Maine Black Bear coach. Mike Lowe talking Bears and Patriots as well. Jen McCaffrey on the Sox. Alan Adams with movie reviews on Pass the Popcorn. And good stuff throughout the week. We mentioned our friend Colin Fleming back with us. Also, we're going to replay this week our conversation from earlier in the summer with Ken Burns and Lynn Novick because their series on the Vietnam War debuts next weekend.
Yeah, and that is just going to be amazing. I watched the first two and part of the third episode when we were getting ready for that interview, and I can't wait to see the rest of it.
Yeah, that was such a fun conversation. So that's coming up this weekend. Much more here on Downtown. Thank you so much for making us part of your weekend. Don't forget Red Sox baseball against the Rays later today here on the Pulse WZON, and we'll see you tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock right here for Downtown. You're gonna